With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yellow Jackets Season 2 is still over, but we are just getting started celebrating it here on Post-Show Recaps. That's right, it is the 2023 In Review podcast series, where all month long, PSR is looking back one last time on some of the very best shows of the year. You could check out the full series by subscribing at postshowrecaps.com/2023inreview. I'm Jess Sterling. Today we're talking about Yellow Jackets Season 2, the impact it had on television in 2023, and so much more. And of course, I'm not alone. I am joined by my fellow soccer team members and lovely, lovely ladies who helped cover the show on Post-Show Recaps, Grace Leader and Marissa Garza. Grace, how are you?
Good. I think you mean fellow cannibal.
Oh, no.
Wait.
I admitted. Look what you just did, Grace. Oh. You just admitted what we did in the forest.
Oops.
Marissa, that was supposed to be a secret.
It's a secret. Don't tell anybody. Nobody's supposed to know.
It was my arm you ate. So
what? Oh, we didn't wait for you to fully die. We just chopped your arm went down.
Right.
Man, survival technology has come a long way. I'm very proud of humanity.
Well, before we start talking about Yellow Jackets, we do want to remind you that at the end of the month, we're going to be reeling the top 10 TV shows of 2023 as voted on by the audience of Post-Show Recaps. That's right, you, the audience. So make sure your voice is heard. Head on over to postshowrecaps.com/best of 2023 to cast your vote and tune in on Friday, December 29th to hear what shows made the list and which ultimately emerged victorious. What do we think? I feel like Yellow Jackets could be in the running for in the top 10. I mean, I know, Marissa, I was listening to our deep dive of the season 2 finale today to kind of remind myself exactly what happened on the show so long ago. I remember some people weren't super pleased with the finale. Do you think that it's standing in the top 10?
I think it could. I also think the lists like this can sometimes have a recency bias to them as well. And this show, as I was talking about pre-pod, I was like, when in time did the show happen? I cannot remember when this was. So that might have more of an effect than the actual content itself, I think. But at least for me, it was one of the top shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we covered this back in May, Grace.
That's so long ago. That's the first half of the year. I will say, I think to a little bit, I do agree. I think there's a year, I think the first year we did it, Hawkeye was like the number two show of the year, which in retrospect feels wild, but that's what happened. That's how the listeners voted.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Yellow Jackets is buoyed by the fact that I think pretty much most of the elite TV this year was in the first half of the year. And we have and I don't think it like coincides with the strike. Like some stuff might've got pushed back, but like, this stuff would have already been filmed, but I do feel like the second half of the year is much weaker in terms of like shows than the first half of the year, which had like Succession and The Last of Us and Yellow Jackets and Mrs. Davis and all of this good stuff.
my God, Mrs. Davis. That's right.
Year.
Yeah, that was this year too. Yeah, you're right. No, a lot of the really things that I think were water cooler talk, right? Things that had people talking and speculating and all of that were first half of the year. So I'll be interested to see where this show lands because, of course, it is very close to my heart. We covered it season one and, of course, season two. But here we're talking specifically season two because that is what happened in 2023. And I feel like I hadn't, before I had went back today and kind of revisited some of the major plot lines of the season, I hadn't remembered just how like traumatizing it was, Marissa, like how many moments where we were like jaws on the ground, eyes are wide. This is a completely wild moment for the show that happened in season two.
Yeah, it was quite the roller coaster. I had just pulled up the good old IMDb to kind of like look through like the titles of all of the episodes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, we had a cult. we had a budding friendship slash romance happening. We had finding out about, you know, certain meals. We had so many things. We found out answers to some questions, not to others. It was a roller coaster of a season.
Yeah.
I remember just us coming on those early pods and being like, wow, they are just gunning it here in season two. Mm-hmm. I believe that you have to expect spoilers on this show. I guess this is the
right? If you haven't listened or watched the show, what are you doing?
I'm just going to give you like 2 seconds and then I'm going to like, yeah, Jackie gets eaten in like episode two or three, I think. And so like the show came out so quick out of the gate and it was on at the same time as Succession, and so right
because there was the Versus podcast
it was yes
it and was early that. On it felt like Yellow Jackets might be like, you know, they're different shows, but that Yellow Jackets might, like, in terms of like the wildness of what was happening and the ability for us to talk about it, that Yellow Jack was maybe pulling ahead Succession. I absolutely will not spoil Succession on this podcast, but very early on it then like there's a thing that happens that sort of propels it, I think, the rest of the season. Whereas I think this one, I think it's a dip in quality towards the end of the season and it's still good, but they came out of the gate really hard, which is actually the opposite of what I find most TV shows are doing now, where they're sort of like, I feel like the style of television right now is like a gradual build up to the finale. And a lot of the finales of these television shows have been really good. So,
yeah, I do think, obviously we watched the show in kind of our own little like Potter recaps bubble, but in reading some of the reviews and like general consensus, Marissa, you and I were scouring the Reddit every week for theories and everything. I feel like people felt the same way as you, Grace, where it was like people were really pumped at the beginning and they felt it was very rushed at the end of the season. A lot of it, specifically the modern storyline, people felt was a little bit rushed, which there are aspects of it I would agree were a little bit rushed. But I think this is a good opportunity for us to kind of address one of our first questions, which, Marissa, did it overcome the sophomore slump to you? Like, how would you compare it to season one of Yellow Jackets? Because it's a tall order when you have such a great show for season one that was so, buzz-worthy.
Yeah,
then come back for a season two and hopefully people are still on board with it.
I wouldn't qualify season two as a sophomore slump season, but I definitely wouldn't call it like a season two climber. What, like, I don't know what the, like, if you're not slumping, are you like rising? I like
skyrocket.
There you go. Yeah.
That's it.
I don't think love it's one of those, but I do think it's like on par with season one. I don't think it necessarily, you know, it did have moments of slump, as Grace and you were alluding to, Jess. I think there are some things that could have been a little bit tighter, been a little bit better. But I do think that like there was excitement throughout the entire season. There were questions the entire season. Yes, we did have our like own little world of theories and, you know, stuff like that. Not everyone interacts with the show like that, but there was enough conversation the entire season to me that makes me think that it did not slump, but it's like maybe like a little, like it's starting an incline. It's not, mm-hmm. it's not on top of a mountain or in space yet, but it is a little elevated from my perspective.
I think in my opinion, I don't know that I think there are moments that are just as good as season one. I think that I don't know it has quite as many moments that are as good as season one, but the lows of season one are worse than anything we got in season two. So I think the entire Adam storyline in season one is something that we kind of like when we're talking about season one, we are not a huge fan of. And I think that overall, there's nothing that sort of hits that level in season two. It's like a very solid like floor for the show in season two. I believe it's nominated for best drama. I think a ton of the actresses in the show get nominated for either lead in Melanie Lynskey or some of the supporting roles. So it's, the Emmys, which got pushed back to, I think, February, early next year. I was a bit surprised that it got, not that I don't think it's good, but I think it's a little like campier and weirder than I thought maybe the Emmys would have given its respect to. And it did get nominated for a bunch of stuff in season one and then again for season two. So I think the quality of the show actually maintained, even if that Jackie that episode is like as good as season one, I think. I don't know if it like consistently does it, but it's a very like solid show throughout season two.
Yeah, if you're watching us on YouTube, which you can, Post Show Recaps on YouTube, if you want to find us, most of these 2023 in review podcasts should be in a playlist here. I was nodding my head vigorously when you mentioned the Adam storyline, because I completely agree with you, Grace. I think nothing in season two bothered me as much as like the season one Adam stuff did. So while I do think that like consistency may have been an issue with season two, and a little bit of a rush in the season two storyline for the adults specifically, I think the 90s storyline was absolutely top notch. I don't know that I would change anything from that. I do think that like it never hit the low lows of how annoyed I was with the Adam story in season one. So to me, that's a win, especially when we're introducing new characters. Well, I guess I shouldn't say new characters, but like adult versions of existing characters. Like there's a lot they're doing this season. There's a lot they have to do, and to do it in less episodes as well. So whether or not, that was a choice on whomever is part, the studio, who knows. But obviously that's going to cut back on the amount of time they have to service all of these individual characters. And I think considering all of that, I really enjoyed it. And I think the other thing to take into consideration is when they made season two, they knew they were getting a season three. I do think there's a mentality, whether it's in the writer's room or whatever, where you can put things off a little bit longer. You can let those question marks linger. You can let the mysteries go on for a bit longer because you know you're getting a season three for people to come back to. So I think that also affects the storylines a little bit. But overall, I'm so very pleased with what we got, and revisiting some of like the storylines and the podcast, I was like, oh my gosh, I just miss the show, Marissa. Like I miss the theorizing, not every show. I feel like Lost is the last one I can really like compare it to, where that got me so hyper, like invested in what's going on. Is this supernatural? Is this real? Like it really got me invested in a way most shows don't.
Yeah, what does the symbol mean? Do I need to become an expert in copper mines? What, what is going on? And it's fun to be curious when you're watching, at least for me. I like to be curious about watching a TV show. I like to learn something. I like to go down a different path. So I do, I don't think we have a show like that in the second half of 2023. So this was definitely fun. And to your point about the three seasons, it does make me think of, this is not a Ted Lasso recap, but the same type of thing was said about Ted Lasso in terms of having set story, like knowing it was going to be three seasons and the pacing of that show when you know, like, I don't know if this is three definite seasons, but if they know that there is a season three, there is definitely something to that. And it has affected viewers when that happens as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Just so one thing I want to know, I was looking to make sure I was right about my Emmy nominations thing. I actually do think it's interesting. There's kind of like a significant drop in how many things they got nominated for with season two. It's only nominated for Outstanding Drama Series, not only, but it is nominated for that. Lead actress for Melanie Lynskey, and then casting, which it also got nominated for last year. It didn't win anything last year, but it got Melanie Lynskey, Yellow Jackets, Christina Ricci got nominated last year. There was a directing nod and a writing nod. It got nominated for two of the episodes, actually got nominated for writing. So there's a little bit less love for it, which I think is like wrapped up in the White Lotus kind of swooped in to the drama category instead of being in the anthology category this year. So it has a little bit more competition. But yeah, I think what I I agree with the idea that there are murder mystery shows, but there is not these like as many all-encompassing mystery shows. I name dropped the other one that I think like sort of like fits into this to a degree is Mrs. Davis. I think is like the other one that I think is as close as you can get, obviously made by the creator of Lost. So there's something to that. But yeah, this show is so fun. It's that mystery piece and getting to play along. It's a show that is very well serviced by not being a binge show. I don't think that the show has any nearly as much cultural zeitgeist if we don't get to like think about it and ponder on a weekly, and people get to like, as you two did, scour Reddit boards and for people to chat in our Discord. So I think it's like well served in that manner. But, you know, and I think that the piece that will, that is such a tough thing to balance. I give a lot of like shows that are trying to do this, to do a mystery show, a lot of credit, is that it is really hard knowing that you've been renewed for season three and that you don't want to give everything away, but you do need to answer some things. And I do think where the end of the season and maybe the season as a whole feels less impactful than season one is season one gets to play in the world of like, here's the shock value. Here's everything that's happening.
Yeah.
We're going to like totally have the mystery. And there isn't as much of an expectation. Like, I think there's less of an expectation to get as many answers in season one as you then maybe want in season two, while also maybe trying to add more mystery. And so that's a really tough balance that I think the show ultimately does mostly pretty well. I really like the sort of clarity we get on Lottie and the way that it builds more ambiguity about Lottie in season two. And I actually think the casting of older Lottie is probably one of the strong points of the show. But the casting in general, it's not just that this is like a very fun mystery show, but the performances on top of that mystery show are like so incredible. This is such a good ensemble cast.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up when you were talking about the Emmy nominations, because I think it's worth pointing out that actor Liv Hewson, who plays the younger version of Van, is non-binary and therefore did not accept an Emmy nomination because there isn't a category for them. So worth pointing that out, that they would also have, they didn't put themselves forward. Is that how that works, Grace? Thank you. Yes. So worth pointing that out, because you're so right. Like, something I think that they did so well with season two was the casting for adult Lottie and adult Van. Obviously, Lauren Ambrose, if you're listening to the 6 Feet Under rewatch, or I should say first watch podcast on Pusher Recaps, you know just what a gem she was as Claire in 6 Feet Under, and just how amazing I thought she performed as Van here. I think, you know, a show that you love, Grace, Dark, is like, to me, the gold standard for what it is to cast a character in multiple times in their life. I think Yellow Jackets, well, maybe like I feel like Shauna for me is probably the most one-to-one in terms of lookalikes, but I think like the embodiment of the characters is more important. And I just think, gosh, Lauren Ambrose is such a gem. And I thought she played Van so well. This like obviously super traumatized character that always kept us guessing, Marissa. If there was one thing that I feel like I harped on in season two, was I was like, more Van and Thaisa. I need to know what the status of their relationship is. Like, what is happening with them? What is going on with Van? She is the one who, if people don't remember, and I understand if you don't, because it's been a long time, Van is kind of the reason that they do this whole ritual at the end of the season where they're going to pull cards and decide who's going to get sacrificed. She's the one who's kind of in with Lottie, or seems to be buying what Lottie is selling, or like, a quote unquote believer, if you will.
Well, because she has cancer. And she also remembers her experience with Lottie in the past. And I think she was also sort of like wavering on that line when they were back in the 1990s timeline. And so she's like, well, what else do I, you know, like, what else do I have? And we still don't have the full picture of what happened in the forest to know how powerful Lottie actually is.
Right.
You know, we don't know that, and maybe she does. And so I think it makes a lot of sense in like from a Van perspective, where she's like, okay, like, this might have worked once before. Like, do we think that she's going to be cured because of what happened?
It seems like that's a big thing, Grace, that we talked a lot about in season two, was like, the bloodletting and how whenever there was like a sacrifice that the wilderness demanded, usually as a result, a good thing happened, right? Like, oh, a bear wanders into our camp. Now we have meat. It's like there always was, okay, something or someone bleeds and then a good thing happens. So do you think that's what's going to happen in season three?
Yeah, I do think I mean, so this does weigh into like a topic of conversation, which you have on the agenda, Jess, which is like the supernatural versus reality of what's happening and how much is coincidence and how much is it actually supernatural. And I'm trying to remember because I didn't rewatch the show before we did this, or whether or not has there been anything that we can outright confirm is supernatural. I don't think so, right?
Everything has always been very like, I feel like the biggest thing in my mind that felt supernatural was when we are kind of in the perspective of like some weird being that is like floating around through the camp and inevitably knocks the snow onto Jackie's body, which is what causes it to steam cook. That to me felt the most supernatural of anything we've seen. I don't think I love that they've never really confirmed one way or the other with most of these things, which they fall on.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I think at some point you do have to do it, but I think that there's a way in which with you, when you never confirm, it is basically confirming that it's not, with the option obviously that it could happen. I mean, the piece here that we like haven't really mentioned is that I mean, as good as the cast is, it does seem like Juliette Lewis will not be in season three.
Yeah,
right. She dies at the end of the season, and that to me, you know, I do think that I'm pretty disappointed that she won't be on the show, and I don't think I want to lose anybody, but her, I think it'd be interesting to maybe see, yeah, if like Van's cancer is cured and it's because you know, Nat died. Yeah, I don't know. I would prefer them to stick to the never give us a real answer, and yet these things that can be considered coincidences, or there can be other logical reasons for them to happen. I'm more inclined, I think, to enjoy that, and the symbol, obviously, in the tree being something that like there are people. You know, somebody has put that there or whatever. We've talked about like whether time travel is possible in the show. I, as much as I do like the supernatural elements being in there, I like that you still can't actually confirm them. I think more than anything, but again, the show will tell us what it is. And if it ends up being that like, yeah, no, here's like a literal demon who's like, you know, offering the deal for the blood sacrifice. So that's what the show is.
I feel like, it gives us a good, I'm going to get a little esoteric as I can tend to do. But like, that's what humans had to do, right? Like they're living alone in the middle of when we first, the first humans, and then they see something and have to come up with a reason why this thing happened. Right. And then, you know, so I think it speaks a lot to, and like the power of the human mind. And then also if you look at it through like a 2023 lens, the power of the human mind, like what are we seeing? What connections are we making? What are we believing without fact behind it? It's a really interesting show to be happening right now. And so I too also like the absence of an answer here. And if there was one when it comes to supernatural, I kind of feel like it might be a little bit of a letdown in that way, because this is something that they all created together.
That's so fair, Marissa. Like there certainly could be an aspect of unreliable narrators, right? When they're all just basically experiencing trauma together and trauma bonding over all of this. How good are their memories of actually what happened? And is what we are seeing true, like the undeniable, you know, objective truth, or are we seeing their perspectives on what went down out there so long ago?
Yep.
I love that aspect. And I would be thrilled if like Grace said, we never find out the answer between realism and supernatural. Obviously certain things we're going to need like some sort of confirmation on. I'm thinking like the symbol, right? Not necessarily what the symbol means, but where did it come from? Is it shaped like, right? Are there minds? Like we talked about this to death, Marissa, on the podcast. Like what could it possibly mean? obviously we're going to need an explanation, but it could be a mixture of both things, which is what I think the show does. One of the high watermarks for me of this show is just like the amount that they're able to play that line, ride that line of supernatural versus realism, whatever's going on with Ty, right? And her, like, her little dark passenger, Issa, who comes out. Mm-hmm. Like, we have no idea. And I really love that. I don't necessarily always need an answer. I don't need a diagnosis, you know? I like sometimes to be able to sit there and make up my own answers for it.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Something that is for certain in this season of the show is that we get two instances of cannibalism, which was wild. And as Grace pointed out earlier, Marissa, it was like right away we're eating Jackie. Like Snacky is here, Munch Munchin. It was a glorious episode. It was a really hard episode to watch, but I thought they did it. The way they did it was so genius, where they had that like interspersed like Greek feast, Greek goddess feast mixed in with like the real nitty gritty, bloody, gross cannibalism.
Yeah, I'm always like concerned I'm always concerned about cannibalism, but I'm
in your everyday life. Yeah,
it just, you know, you never
just
know.
In general. Just,
Grace had her arm eaten.
Yeah.
And he's like, come on.
It's true.
But I just think, like, whenever a show deals with a topic like that, you never know how it's going to be portrayed. And I think they really leaned in with this. And then that one scene where they, like, go to the mall.
Yeah.
Like, they play with the fantasy aspect of it. And that, I think, makes it, this is a pun intended, a little bit more digestible for me, because it's not necessarily something very literal that I have to watch. I was a little concerned about that. I'm glad they leaned into the fantasy of it all. I also, this is also going to be really weird, I always was weirded out about talking about this on the podcast too, but like the cooking methods, I enjoyed the variety of cooking methods. There was like a creative you know, aspect to it. One was by happenstance and they took it as a sign. The other was quite deliberate in how it does. And like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And how do you get from, you know, steam to steak? So I enjoyed cannibalism. I enjoyed like them having that as part of the storyline in the season.
Yeah, I mean, we know they do it, right? So in season one, it's like I think it's like pretty close to the opening shot of the show. It's like they're eating a body. So you know, I love the way they lean into it. I love the Greek feast that they're having. I know that a lot of them have talked about, I believe the interview with one of the cast members, they talk about is it Jackie fruit? Is what they call it.
Yeah, Jackie fruit.
Yeah, Jackie fruit, because it made it.
They had to eat fruit. Yeah. So but I think that was so cleverly done in this way that you must, to a certain degree, you know, people who have been in situations like this before, on boats and things, and where this happens, is like there you have to try and you have to rationalize it in some way.
When this happens.
You haven't heard of it? There definitely is. Yes, stranded okay. on a ship.
I'll Wikipedia. I'll Google it. I'll Google it.
Yeah. This is not like an entirely unknown thing of what
he's not expecting it. That's all. I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I agree. There has to be a way in which you can make it right in your head of like, oh, the wilderness provided. They want us to do it. And I love that in both instances of Jackie and Javi, that it is like the person closest to the person who is going to be eaten must give like permission almost. Like it's like theirs is the first, they get the first right of refusal to chow down. It's like Shauna with Jackie and it's Javi's brother, Travis, that's his name, with Javi. And I love that because it is very, it's like ritualistic in the way, obviously very much with Javi in that they pull cards and they hunt Nat. And unfortunately, the wilderness takes Javi instead. But it begs the question, Marissa, Javi dies with a lot of unanswered questions.
Yeah. Where was he going? What was he doing?
Who he was in his little tree hobby hole.
Where was he? What about the man with no eyes? Like, was that like, we thought that Javi was the man with no eyes? There was so many things, but yeah, he has a lot of questions. And I don't think that those questions are unanswered lazily. Like, I think they will come into play as it goes on. It's going to be a little bit more difficult now that Nat isn't in the modern day storyline, because right. I feel like she would have like a drive to continue finding out those questions. Mm-hmm. But maybe in the 1990s, we will see some answers to those questions. Because I gotta tell you, if I was stuck alone in the woods with a bunch of people and we're eating people, I'd probably want to distract my mind with all of the questions that Javi has left open for me.
Yeah, that's fair, Grace. I feel like the death of Javi was very significant, in my opinion, mostly because of how it affects Natalie and Travis and how it ultimately leads to Natalie's death in the modern day, because she felt responsible for his death and never really felt like she could fix it. She felt like it was her fault that he was taken instead of her. It was her card that was pulled. And so she kind of sacrifices herself to save Lisa. And so obviously we're not going to be hanging out with Nat much in the modern day, but being that we still have so much time to fill in the 90s in the wilderness, and it seems like the coach might be hanging out in the same little hidey hole that Javi was escaping to, it's certainly possible we could get some answers on that stuff.
Yeah, I think that one of the things when you lose somebody else from the in that time period, there's also the thing of like it removes some of the mystery, not the mystery, but you know, the other person everyone thought Javi could be was Adam.
Yes.
There's a lot of Javi is Adam theories going on. And so there is a smidge of like, it takes something off the board in terms of a thing that can be revealed, like in the modern day setting, where actually I feel like there is kind of like less mystery. We're more playing in like, we don't know entirely what happened, and we know like they're upset with Lottie, but also like, you know, Nat is the one whose card gets pulled right in that thing. And then she ends up dying in the modern day. But these pieces of, we're more playing in like how it affected them. I think Marissa, one time you said like this show is basically like what if your high school experiences came back to haunt you, but in like turned up to the extreme. And I think it's so true. And so much of like the modern day stuff, I mean, there was certainly more of it last season when we got like all of Misty's shenanigans that are going on that are like, you know, she's actively creating new problems in modern day. And we sort of end up there this season with more of like the cop stuff and them tracking down what's happening with Adam, et cetera, et cetera. But when you like, when you kill Javi off in the past, it then removes the ability to like pull that card out in the future time, which I don't know necessarily like how much like Javi being around in the future time. But and then there's also the thing of like, yeah, a bunch of these people probably have to be eaten. I guess I'm wondering, like, I know this is more like future speculation, but how many of these people do you expect to be? And the way that it was not a red shirt who got eaten at the end of season two is wild.
Yeah, there's still plenty of red shirts, I think, right? They added a few this season, Crystal being one of them. She's now gone, thanks to also Misty. Misty
doesn't even get
you,
eaten.
Killing a lot of people. No,
she just falls off the, she gets killed, right?
She might
like by the wilderness freezer.
Could be like wilderness animals eat her, because they go back and they can't find the body, right? Like Misty tries to find her body, she can't find it. It's like, well, did Javi steal it and eat it? How did he survive out there? Yeah, certainly there are still plenty of red coats to go around for munching on, because we do still have, like, they're basically halfway through their time in the wilderness currently. Before they're going to get rescued. So that's a long time. I mean, obviously when it warms up, hopefully they can hunt properly, you know, animals. But yeah, it's really interesting where we leave off, because the other big, I don't know that it's a question in my mind. I feel like it was fairly obvious, but the fire that happens where now we know, okay, they're not even going to have a, like a shelter. They're not going to, they don't have a roof over their heads at the start of next season. I mean, it certainly seems, Marissa, like they were setting it up to be Coach Ben that started this fire. Yep. Because in case anybody forgot, basically he comes back, sees Javi's dead body, and is like, the heck has been going on out here? Like, Nat, come with me. Come hide away with me. We'll be okay. And she's like, I'm one of them. I'm terrible too. Marissa, what do you think? Was it Coach Ben that set the fire?
I think I mean, I can't think of anyone else that it could be.
Yeah. So unless it's a supernatural thing, which it could, you know.
Which it could be. But it was a very interesting way to end the season in that storyline, because talk about questions. Yeah, what are they gonna do? I know there was in season two, we also had like the factions of like the Nat followers and the Lottie followers, and you know, science versus not spirituality type of thing happening there. And so I wonder if, because there isn't like a common shelter, if we will see that in the future. But in terms of like the fire itself, like what a way to reset the board. I think it has to be Coach Ben. I think he will run or will not be there if he has. I can't remember if he was at the end of the season or not.
I want to say he was, we saw him in the little hidey hole.
Then
I believe so. Yeah.
Then everyone will, that'll be like the search. Like instead of where's Javi, it'll be like, where's Coach Ben type of thing.
But he's not as much meat now that he's missing one leg. You know?
Agreed.
You can't, it's not like Thanksgiving where you could be like, I call one of the legs. It's like, well,
you still could, but it's one of one.
One of them.
There's
like more, like it's not just the whole, he didn't cut his whole leg off. Whole leg, like from the hip down.
That's right? True.
So there's still stuff there.
And he's the biggest person out there, like in terms of like mass, right? Like he's a fully formed adult. So yeah. Anyway, sorry, go ahead, Grace.
No, I, you know, the fire thing, I like almost like I very much forgot it happened. And like I don't hate the idea of like removing the you know, the shelter for them and having them like start of like, you know, is a real big Jeff Probst in the modern day of Survivor move to be like, you got to start from scratch at the merge. Or I guess at like the final five or whatever. It's not the most exciting thing. I mean, is that where we leave the full season? Do you remember this, Jess? Or is it like, is it actually Nat's death?
I want to say we might leave the story in the modern day, that it's like fire and then Nat's death modern day time. But it's certainly like the very end of the 90s storyline.
Right. Yeah. I don't know that I'm like super excited about like, oh, the shelter got burned down.
It's most interesting. I think what makes it more interesting is that, are they going to know it's, if it is Coach Ben, I should say, are they going to know it's him and will they want to retaliate? And on top of that, to Marissa's point, our faction's going to develop as a result of like this added stressor of now we don't have a place to live.
Do you know what? Maybe I'm just jaded because I remember coming on and being like, we don't really know it's Coach Ben. So I was like, no, we very clearly saw it was Coach Ben. So I'm pretty sure we like actively see. And if someone, and not someone on the podcast, I believe it was like somebody else be like, hey, no, we saw it was Coach Ben.
And so well, he's like, not he's Coach- standing outside and he's like watching them through the window. And then we see him grab like wood and something else, which is why we, and like rope maybe. Basically things that, to like, start a fire.
That one meme of that girl who sets the house on fire and then looks back. Like I just think of that as like Coach
that's Ben.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. We'll have to see where that kind of leaves the 90s crowd. I think that like, I don't know. I've always been a little bit more fascinated by the 90s storyline. And I think it's one, it's set in the 90s. And I think it's really interesting to watch teenagers who the vast majority are non-male interact together and kind of have to form their own rules and laws in the middle of the wilderness. I find it like endlessly fascinating. So I'll be interested to see what happens from there, because to your point, Marissa, when you talked about the like Lottie versus Nat of it all, now it's kind of, they're all seemingly one mind, right? Where Lottie has like appointed Nat as like the first seemingly antler queen. Mm-hmm. And Travis might have problems with the fact that they ate his brother. He also did it.
Yeah.
He also did it. So I don't know. I don't know how cohesive this group is going to be. Considering, you know, Shauna's doesn't seem that happy that Nat got appointed antler queen instead of her. She's the one who deboned the body.
Yeah, I just think when you take something big like a shelter away from a group that I think is only being held together by the shelter itself, it's gonna lead to some interesting diversions.
Yeah, back to belt soup.
I think that for me, though, I think that the thing is like, I think we already knew that there was going to be like conflict. And so it's like, I guess we're getting the thing that is going to cause the conflict, but I'm not super intrigued by it. As opposed to one of my favorite things that happens at the end of the show is in season two is Walt killing Kevin Tan.
Yes.
And the reason why I think that is so interesting is because we thought Walt was actually like going to like turn Misty, and he was actually on the hunt for Misty, and the fact that he like covers it up for her, but Misty is also going to be dealing with the death of Nat, and Nat was dating Kevin Tan, and so like the idea that like those two are dead and it's like they're wrapped up in the whole thing, I think is like so much fun from a character perspective. And yeah, so I'm super intrigued by Walt and Misty, specifically Misty, because I think Misty was the breakout star of season one. I think that the like both in the, I really love the scene with Crystal. I think it's like dark and demented in the way I love in my television, when she just is like tells her about the transponder, and then when she like Crystal freaks out, she's like, "Well, I'll just push you off this cliff."
Yeah, whoopsies.
It's amazing. We know how evil she is, so it totally tracks. But I thought that like modern day Misty is maybe the most interesting thing on like the show, period, and the best character on the show. And I feel like that's like that gets a bit diminished in season two in a way that I'm hoping that there's a lot more room for her to, I don't know, be a pretty wild character in season three, now that she knows that Walt did this. And does she know that Walt does it? I guess she doesn't. I don't know if she knows that. But
I don't know that she explicitly knows, because a lot of stuff was going on at the end of the season with like Nat's death. So I don't think that he had a chance to tell her yet.
Anyway, whatever happens. Yeah, whatever happens there. And then also the fact that she's going to be dealing with the fact that her best friend is dead. Yeah.
Well, by her own hand.
That's like the house. Like Nat was her home in the modern timeline. So having Nat disappear from her world is
she basically keeps killing her besties. You know, one on purpose, one by accident.
We've all accidentally killed our best friend.
Well, because we're already on the topic, let's talk about what we already know about season three. As I said before, we knew it had been renewed. It got renewed before season two even premiered, way, 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 way back in December of 2022. Obviously, since then, we've had the biggest Hollywood strike, which inevitably is going to delay it. What I had read was like when the season two got greenlit, it was like the same time of year. So, and it took until like March for us to get it. Obviously, we're going to be waiting much, much longer. Hopefully, we'll get it in 2024 in general. And the other thing we know is that we've been in the wilderness in the 90s storyline for about 10 months, meaning they have about 9 more months to go until they're rescued. That's how much time they have to fill. Obviously, probably not all in season 3. Hopefully there's another season or two to go. But that's how much time we have left. What we don't know is I have no idea if we're getting Elijah Wood in season 3. I seriously hope we get Walter back because I feel like Marissa, there's some loose ends I'd like tied up on his storyline. Mm-hmm. And obviously getting to watch Christina Ricci and Elijah Wood together on screen is something we would all very much look forward to.
It's a gift.
Yeah. So I hope he returns.
Yeah. I hope he
returns. No, you ahead.
Yeah. No, yeah, I hope he returns. I think my biggest question for me is if he doesn't return, would that result in a time jump in the modern timeline? Or time something?
I think you got to bring him back, I think. I don't think you leave that story there without making sure that he's signed on for multiple seasons. I think if he died, he's not coming back. I think the fact that he is alive. Can I tell you a story about Elijah Wood that is very embarrassing for me personally? Which is
that have to do with boats, because I don't want to hear about Elijah Wood.
Search up the customs of the sea, Marissa. That's yeah. So I was watching some YouTube clips and an interview popped up with Elijah Wood. And I was like, wait, he's not British. I learned that Elijah Wood. No, do you know what it was? I was watching The Adventures of Huck Finn, the movie that he's in as a child. And I was like, that's a really good American accent that this young British boy has. And then I like look up and I'm watching these news interviews. So I had to message my friend.
The entire time he thought he was British.
Yeah, I thought he was British. And I don't know why. He has a very British looking face, I think. And his name is kind of, is Elijah Wood. I don't know if
Elijah Wood. Yeah, I can see it. Elijah Wood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I thought he was British. Turns out he's from just like Iowa. What the hell?
Grace, Iowa, the Britain of America.
I think New England is, but you know.
The best is that like Grace is the person who knows actors and actors' names and like all of that stuff. And I'm the one over here who's like, oh, they were in that thing, you know, like that movie, you know? And so you know what, Grace? I'm so happy that this happened to you because it makes me feel better about myself.
I messaged my friend who's a huge Lord of the Rings fan. I was like, what? He's not British? He's like, no, he's not. He's very American.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's incredible. Like, that just speaks to his acting prowess, you know? Like, yeah. Made you believe.
Yeah. I'm always, I was like, what a good American accent this guy's got.
He's so good. Well, I really do hope he comes back for season 3 because I'm not ready to give up Misty and Walter yet. I loved their dynamic so much that I would be absolutely fascinated to see more of Walter. I'm really interested how the Yellow Jackets move on from Nat's death. I think it's so interesting, especially because when Lottie leaves, she says something like, it's in you or it's in all of us or basically you'll see. And I think she kind of pointedly looks at Van, which is again, like Van's cancer story will be really interesting to see how that all shakes out. And very obviously something that I felt like they did not give enough time to in season 2 is Van and Ty and how that's all going to shake out, because there's something going on with Van more than like the secrecy about the cancer and everything. There is something there that I feel like I'm intrigued by, both from the 90s perspective of like her being like Lottie's sidekick, but also the modern day perspective of Van and what is going on with her, right? Like, it's just, I feel like she has more secrets, you know, in there, Marissa. There's just something there.
Oh, yeah. She's got her secrets. And I don't know if Ty knows those secrets. And I think that like, because Van knows all of Ty and Issa's secrets, at least most of them, as much as she did when they were together. And so like, I think it would be interesting if Van had like a similar type of situation and how that can play out. Yeah, but there's definitely more to it. Why was she isolated? Why did she start her VHS tape rental place? Like, what, you know, we kind of meet her at this point with, which generates a lot of questions. So there's definitely more to her storyline, and I'm hopeful we get to see it.
The storyline that I thought was like, I was like so hooked onto it as like a thing that was important is the night that Van and Thaisa are like, they see each other again, and Ty goes into like, you know, her alter ego mode, and they seemingly have this like night of doing something. And I thought that was going to come back and be revealed, that we get a flashback of what they did that night. That potentially Van was more in can control Thaisa and use this alter ego. We don't get any of that, but I do think, yeah, I'm super intrigued by the relationship and hope that that is one where I feel like they, what they gave us was so minimal, but it's so intriguing. And so the fact that we haven't got more, I think, is disappointing. But then I'm like, okay, well, yeah, but obviously I'll come back. You'll give me more, obviously. So,
do you think that Lauren Ambrose is British? I'm just checking.
Yeah, I think I thought they were all British. Oi, I'm Melanie Lynskey.
Melanie Lynskey. Actually, Melanie Lynskey does have a really fabulous American accent because she's a Kiwi, right? She's from New Zealand. Yeah. So. Yeah. She's a Kiwi. She's Kiwi. I'm so sorry to anyone and literally everyone and everyone. I'm just sorry in general. But yeah,
except to Elijah Wood,
yeah. Just to Elijah Wood. Let's get into some superlatives. There's so much here to love, but I've narrowed it down to just a few little categories maybe that we could talk through. So for season two, I have who's your MVP and who's your LVP. It's not going to be easy, right?
Oh, the LVP is very easy. It's okay. It's cop dude.
Obviously. Oh, Sir Cusa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. He's
who manipulates
the
LVP. A teenager.
Yeah.
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 That's who we at one point thought was also Javi.
That's right. Also Javi. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clear LVP on my end. Yeah. Yeah. Although I love the actor, but. He plays a really
terrible character. This is fair. I feel like universal, just unanimous LVP for him. MVPs though, a lot of options.
I'll give it to Nat. I think like there's not an opportunity to do it, so it's a little bit of like a sympathy potential. I guess there is because there's like young Nat, but specifically like for Juliette Lewis, if she's not returning to the show, I really love her storyline of like going to confront Lottie and then like hanging out there and trying to like figure it out, but then also maybe like benefiting from it and having the relationship with Nicole Maine's character, who I'm struggling to remember.
Lisa.
I really love that. So I'll give mine to Nat. It's mostly for adult Nat, but this is the great thing is that you basically give
two for one deal. Yeah. It's BOGO, baby.
Yeah.
Marissa, what about you?
I could see that. I also enjoyed that Juliette Lewis put a goldfish in her mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. Stop. That was so great.
So we got a lot of great moments. And she had to, like, confront some of her own past. And it just was a really Nat-rich season. So I could see that. But to add to the conversation, I think I would choose... Part of me wants to say Jeff just because he was so silly.
Oh, how have we not talked about Jeff? Wow.
Jeff and Walter was not a pair we knew we needed, but we definitely needed.
Yeah, they were really, really good. I don't know if they're MVP. I want to get my heart wants to give it to Van for showing up and stirring things up. And so that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah. I'm gonna give mine to Shauna. Specifically, I thought Sophie Nalise, like,
the baby.
I just like the amount that these young actors are, they're all stars. Like every single one of them, I was so impressed by. Obviously, Jasmine Savoy Brown just like blows my mind in general. Like she was one of the ones who I was only almost like mostly familiar with besides, you know, I didn't really know the rest of them. But Sophie Nalise as Teen Shauna, specifically in the birthing scene, that is not an easy thing to have to act, especially when you're the age that Sophie is, especially if you haven't gone through like a given birth in general, right? Like I can't imagine, what are you pulling from, you know, to have those emotions. I thought she's seen a lot of Grace. I thought she was absolutely incredible. And I really love what they did with Shauna's character. Again, specifically in the 90s, but like, am I going to miss out on an opportunity to praise Melanie Lynskey as well? Like, absolutely not. I thought Shauna is just like, hands down, the most interesting character. So I got to give it to her.
Shauna's relationship with her daughter in season two was really interesting, and how she told her like what was going on.
Everything. And then, yeah. Like,
Yeah. Okay. We at one point we thought she was going to kill her daughter because they went out to the middle of nowhere, and just being able to like not know where this character is headed is really something special.
Yeah, Callie, I think I might give like most improved to be honest, because I really didn't care for her character in season one. And I thought like the generational trauma and how they kind of handled that in season two was really interesting. Specifically, the Jeff and Callie stuff was really strong. I remember really enjoying having that conversation where Jeff tells Callie that, you know, your mother had a baby out in the wilderness, it didn't make it, blah, 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 blah. Like, that was really powerful. So most improved, I think, goes to Callie for me. I didn't even put that on here as a category, but I'm going to shout her out for it.
Well, I do like that you give your point to Shauna, because I do think sometimes, like, the lead actress role, the lead actor, like, the lead role, can sometimes get overlooked. They often are, like, can be a little bit more boring because they're supposed to be, like, the you know, the
straight
point
man
of view
type
character
of thing.
Yeah. for the audience, and they're a little, they can be a little bit like toned down, and Shauna's just not that, and so I do appreciate Shauna getting some love in the voting here. I don't know if there's any, I would agree with here that Callie's probably the most improved. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, this is a thing where, like, you know, I've not watched the show in a long time.
I'm gonna say this,
Tyson doesn't do anything nearly as bad as she does in season one. I believe she doesn't kill a dog, she's not like creeping out her child outside of the window. Case for most improved. She does literally leave. She literally does like abandon, and she gets in a car crash with
the
ride.
She like abandons her family.
Yeah. Who's in the hospital.
Yes.
Yeah. She abandons her wife who's in the hospital, like in a coma. So that's not great. Yeah. Also cheats on her wife.
Yeah, I was going to say, and then also.
Not my favorite.
But
it's with Van and they're in true love. So it's okay.
Yeah. The past. She has a past.
Yeah.
Yeah, plenty like of, it's just like physical to emotional, I think, on Thais's front.
Yeah. Best death in the show. There's a lot of death this season. So there's like plenty to choose from. We have like Crystal falls off a cliff, Javi drowns in the freezing cold water. Like, we got some options for best death. I mean, Jackie died already, I guess. So she doesn't really count. She died last season.
And we have police dude.
Yeah, Kevin Tan. He did.
I think it's probably, I mean, it's not best death, but
most impactful death, maybe?
Yeah, it's got to be Nat, I think, right? Like, it's that's huge, right? Like, they killed off Julia.
I was going to say Javi was the most impactful for the characters. But for, like, me as a viewer, yes, not having Juliette Lewis and having the character of Nat gone to the modern storyline is going to be something I'm not going to know what to do with.
Yeah, the Nat stuff is obviously like huge in terms of not having the actor Juliette Lewis and like the character of Nat. However, we still get Nat in the 90s timeline. Yep. So I guess for me, it's like Javi's death was so big because it was like a hunt and on purpose. Like, Nat died by accident when Misty's trying to kill Lisa. Mm-hmm. Whereas Javi, it was like, Nat, leave him or it's you. Like, the wilderness chose him. And I feel like that impacts our characters for like generations and like, you know, decades. And I don't know, his death was so brutal also because like he's such a little baby gem. You know, he's just little baby Javi.
Yeah.
Little
Javi.
That's fair. Yeah.
Little Javi. Next one I have is best new addition to the cast. So we have best new character, you know, I have Walter, we got Crystal/Kristen, adult Van, adult Lottie, we have Lisa thrown in there. Syracuse I'm not putting because obviously we're not picking him because he sucks.
Remember when we thought Crystal wasn't real? Remember that? That was also a thing.
I always thought she was real. I never believed those theories. I was like, no, people are responding to her. What's that girl's name? Is it Mari?
Yeah.
Like, she spoke to her. Marissa, what do you think? Do you have a pick for
I mean, I have to say Walter. I think he brought, you know, a lot to my viewing experience. You know, he's Elijah Wood. I can't.
Yeah.
Between that and also, like, it would be a tie for me between Walter and adult Lottie, because those are two like heavy hitting actors coming into the storyline and seemingly like seamlessly fitting in and bringing so much to it. And we already talked about how Lottie brought, adult Van brought so much to the story and has so many more questions. And we already don't want Walter to leave. So adult Van, adult Walter, they were all good. really hard because like Adult Lottie was also very intriguing and brought a lot of like a lot of different questions. I'd say on that list, I don't know, Lisa, maybe not so much, but she also added a lot to the story for Nat. It was all good.
She was like a young Nat, right? Yeah. Like she was like Nat saw herself in Lisa. So they're all excellent.
And Crystal, what about comedy? I don't really have an answer. I'm sorry.
What about five-way tie? Five-way tie.
the foremost Elijah Wood fan.
President of the Elijah Wood fan club.
Obviously. Leader.
That's right. This is such a competent answer, but they all serve their own, of them all fit into their role so well, like Walter with Misty, Crystal with Misty, Adult Van Lottie, and Lisa with Nat. Like it's so good. I have a fondness for Lisa, not just because, this is Nicole Mance, who's a trans actress, being on this, this TV show. She gets stabbed in the hand by Nat.
Oh, that was so great.
And yet they
right?
Yeah, and they still bond. And then we got to interview Nicole Mance. So
that was so exciting. Yeah, yeah.
I gotta put my love towards Lisa, but they're all good. Yeah. That's a strong category. No.
Yeah, I'm currently rewatching 6 Feet Under, and Lauren Ambrose is just like so phenomenal. And what I was most impressed by is, Marissa, you kind of mentioned it about like season one, the older and younger versions of these characters, the actors that play them, got to sit down and kind of talk about how they were going to portray these characters. I feel like Adult Van and Adult Lottie, those actors had a much harder job where they had to watch season one's versions of their characters and adapt themselves to fit those established characters. And so to come in as an adult version of Van and for me to immediately, and obviously like physicality aside from that, like just immediately feel like that is what an adult Van would act and look and seem like. I was so impressed. And so I have to give it to Lauren Ambrose just because she's such a freaking star. Like she just looks like she's been traumatized. I thought she did such a good job. I love all these characters. Crystal and Misty, 10 out of 10. I love them so much. They were so cute. But yeah, I gotta give it to Lauren Ambrose because she's just incredible.
And then when Misty like tries to tell what happened, yes, I'm gonna have to rewatch this. This is making me rewatch it.
It's making me want to rewatch the whole series. All right, let's go to our next question here, our next superlative, where Marissa, you and I, we theorized so much on the podcast. I had to throw in, what's your favorite like offshoot theory, favorite tinfoil hat theory, man. Something that like you still think about that, like, could this be real? Could this be the thing? I'll go first so you guys have a second if you want to think. I really like the mine theory. I really like that, where the symbol is like secret mine shafts or something. And it's like, what's turning the water red? It's just mercury. Like, I love that theory, not because it takes away from the supernatural aspect of the show, because sometimes I like if it's a simple answer to a question. It doesn't always have to be the most complex thing to be interesting. And so if there is this mine shaft that they can find, and it would make sense in a season three, if they needed to find a new shelter, they found some mines, you know, I just like it. I don't know, something, it feels right in my brain, that theory.
Well, as I was preparing for this podcast, I went back to the Yellow Jackets Reddit, mm-hmm. and I was like, people are still talking. They're still shouting theories.
I'm sure Halloween they popped off.
Yeah, it was a big thing. But they're like, okay, so the fire. When you get the fire, maybe we're going to find bodies underneath the cabin. And then that's going to lead to tunnels. And tunnels, did you know that Yellow Jackets, like, bury underground? And that's where they live. Yep. And so, like that whole thing. So I think there's definitely something there in terms of, like, I'm very into, like, the lore of the cabin. But I am obsessed. I will always forever be obsessed with the symbol. Like, what does the symbol mean? Is it a map?
Yeah.
Remember when we were trying to, like, map? Map it out, like, this is the peak of
yeah,
the mountain,
head is on the
and
map.
Then like
it's,
this,
yeah,
right there.
In season one, I kind of read it one that's like, it's like a device, it's like a compass device that I'm still not entirely over. That's not
mm-hmm. I think like I will be a sucker for any of those theories. You want to talk to me about the symbol? I'll talk for days about it.
Yeah. It feels very like Lostian with the numbers, right? Like, what do the numbers mean? It feels very much like, what does the symbol mean?
What if the symbol is the numbers?
What if the symbol is the numbers?
I don't know.
What, you could make numbers. Oh, the head is a zero.
Yeah.
It's possible.
I agree with you that I think that the symbol is the most intriguing, like, mystery left on the board. And, like, I think it's the most fun to theorize about. But the other big one that, like, is just... is the man with no eyes. He's just there. And I feel like we have literally no information about who he is or why he's there. And so that for me, and we know, didn't we get a Thaisa's flashback scene where she sees her? Like, it's like a flashback to the flashbacks. Like,
it's her grandmother is dying and sees him in the mirror or something. And she also sees him.
That's when she that was creepy.
Yeah, so that to me is, like, super intriguing. I would love to get more information on this next season. I kind of added just to the thing I put, like, theories you need an answer to by next season. I need an answer to this, but, like, I need more information than I have through two seasons.
What do I need an answer to? I mean, a big one that I think a lot of us want to know is, like, what happened with Van and Ty the night that Ty turned into Issa in the modern day? Like, I think a lot of us, like, need to know that.
I think the Travis stuff, too, what happened to Travis in the modern day, I think is... we know now. We know now, right?
We know.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything else, like, I need... confirmation on. I mean, the baby stuff is done, so that was like a big one that we got.
I know, the more I was actually just right now, like, looking up a lot of conspiracy, like, they actually have, like, answered or, like, dismissed a lot of things that there was a lot of opportunity for, I think. It's really interesting.
I mean, I don't need to know. I need to know how they get out of there, but I don't know if I need to know next season, because we did get that, like, scene of them coming off the plane. So I wonder if we will get, like, just a little bit more further back. I think that's how the season started, was, like, with them coming off the plane. We were counting how many people were on the plane and who made it, who didn't. And so maybe we'll see a little bit more ahead of that.
Yeah, I feel like, I would actually, to your point, Marissa, I would love to get some scenes of they're rescued but not adults yet. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that, you know, they're still teenagers and they just got rescued. I would love more scenes of that, because we didn't get a ton of it. But when we did get it, like, we saw Lottie being put in the mental institution, like, in the electroshock therapy, right? So I would love to get more of that. I think the thing that I don't necessarily need answered, or that I feel like we have enough of an answer to currently, is, like, the whole Antler Queen situation, where Nat is currently the Antler Queen. But it kind of feels like that's a rotating position. Like, she might be, like, an elected official, you know? You get the seat until the wilderness saves somebody else, and then they are now deemed the Antler Queen.
How are we feeling about Pit Girl? Is that still a big question?
Yeah, I think that I do want answered in season 3. I feel like it's time. I feel like it's time.
I would agree.
And I also, I don't, I mean, Grace, I know you brought it up earlier, like, time travel. I don't particularly think that's this show. Like, I think Pit Girl should and probably will be one of the Yellow Jackets, or, like, a new character that we meet in season 3, not, like, a time traveling type of situation.
Yeah, it'd be cool to have that answer, so we're not just asking every season.
I think the best bet on the board is still, like, Mari, right? One of the
because of the dark hair, people. People think Mari. I mean, I've loved talking about the show. I always will. It feels like just revisiting it already kind of sparked that little bit of a fire in me that wants to rewatch it now, because it's just, there's so much, like, this is a show that you can rewatch and notice things you didn't the first 2-3 times you've watched it. So I cannot wait for season 3 to come back, hopefully sooner rather than later. Anything else you guys wanted to bring up or add before we wrap things up here?
Just a mention and a reminder of the awesome soundtrack that was throughout all of season 2. Always good, but always a good look back on as well.
Yeah. Zombie. Did they have that one? Oh, so good. It's so good. Yeah. My 90s heart just loves it.
I don't know if you know this, but Elijah Wood is American. I just.
What? What? Get out.
No kidding.
That's it.
Incredible. I really hope you cover some more Elijah Wood content.
Please, yes. Whoa. And my favorite thing to think about is like if Grace covers more Elijah Wood content, and every time she's on a podcast about Elijah Wood, she brings up that story.
No, she has to introduce herself as president of the Elijah Wood podcast.
Club.
Hey, club. Yeah. Do you know that he was in an episode of a show called I'm a Virgo?
It's destiny.
And he played Jasper at the end of the after party, which many of us thought might be the cast, you know, leak for season. Although I believe that show did recently get canceled.
It did get canceled. Yeah. Incredible. Well, before we close out, we do want to remind everyone one last time that we have a survey, posturerecaps.com/survey2023. That's going to help us greatly. If you could just go in, do a little survey, do your top 10. We have some other fun questions on there. We want your voice to be heard, and you know, more data equals more correct information, or you know, math stuff. Anyway, I'm not the math one on the podcast. We know this. Are you new?
I am not either.
Is anyone new?
Elijah
I can't
Wood.
Do math on podcasts. But that's gonna do it for Yellow Jacket season 2 on the 2023 in review podcast. Make sure you're subscribed so that you don't miss a single podcast. PosturerRecaps.com/2023 in review. In the meantime, Marissa, where can people find you and what do you have going on?
Well, I am here on the good old Posture Recaps chatting about the Gilded Age with Jason Reed. We are getting into all of the coffee. It's not tea because we're not in Britain, I guess. But Elijah Wood might be in Britain. We're talking about that mess of a show over there on HBO. It's been a good time. Other than that, you can find me on the former Bird app at Mars Bars, MARZBARS, where some other stuff might pop up.
Grace, what about you?
And Elijah Wood.
Yeah, I'm mostly talking about how Elijah Wood is American. You and I, Jess, are talking about full seasons of TV shows every week, full spoiler recaps. We're going to be talking about Colin from Accounts this week, an Australian show that's airing for the first time here in the U.S. The way I said here, I'm not American, unlike a lot of people. Talking about Fargo, The Crown, The Curse, Yellowstone, and movies each week with Ariel. I'm on social media at HiFromGrace.
You can find me at the Jess Sterling. I'm talking with Grace on full spoiler recaps. That's about all I have going on over here. But over on A Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, we've wrapped up Freaks and Geeks and we've started Felicity. So a great time to come on board for our second era. Because that girl, Felicity. I don't know if you've heard of her, but girl has lost her mind. Check the show out.
So, you know, that just means everything.
That's what I said, Marissa. There is a correlation. As someone who has curly hair, there is a correlation. Check that out. You can find me at the Jess Sterling on Twitter. Become a patron of Posher Recap so you could chat with us about movies, television, your holiday plans. People love posting photos. I love looking at photos. PosherRecaps.com/Patreon is where you can sign up if that's something you're interested in. And yeah, stay tuned because we have so much more coming this month for 2023 in review to finish out the year, reviewing some of our favorite content. Thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you on the next one. Have a good one. Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.